Good to be with you all this morning and to see all your lovely faces. So it's always wonderful to be here and worship together. And for those who may be here or maybe have been in and out, I just want to give a little bit of a perspective of the theme and everything that we have been going through, because if you noticed, today we are heading towards the end. We are at the very end of this chapter, chapter 11. And we've started this journey since, I believe, at the beginning or the end of summer. And so now we are heading to the very end of this passage, of this chapter, and we have been navigating through each verse, line by line, looking at each one of these great figures in the Bible to show us and to reveal to us lessons of what it is to live by faith. And so now we are heading to the very in part of this passage. And so this is where we are. This is where we are right now. We're at the end of this passage. And the older that I get, and this does not, it was not meant to make people laugh, but the older that I get, I realize, in a serious note, I realize that life is short. Life is fleeting. And so we want to live life to the best of our abilities. We want our lives to have meaning. We want our lives to be purposeful. We want to live lives that are tying together with Christ. We want to make sure that the life that we have and the life that we are living is a life that is trending towards the direction of Jesus. That's the focus. That's where we are headed. And so before we go any further this morning, let us come back to God in prayer. Our title of a message this morning is, By Faith, the Unfinished Portrait. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the ability that you have given us to come together. And so, Lord, now as we come together, we pray for the anointing power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and our minds so that we would be receptive, that we would hear the words of Jesus. This is our humble prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And so here in this passage, as we are getting started, we notice that there are different facets in our lives. I don't know about you, but we know and we see here that our lives, if we just go through our lives, through our routines, through everything, with no purpose, no sense of directions, no meaning, then we start to have these existential questions. What am I doing? Where am I heading? What is the meaning of life? You start having all of these questions come to mind. But you also realize that when we put faith into the picture, a life of faith is a meaningful life. And through the book of Hebrews, we're discovering story after story, as we have seen from many weeks now, that these people made the most of their lives by faith. So now with this in mind, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And we are seeing how a life has meaning when God is in the picture, when God comes into the picture, and when it is a life that is filled with faith. In the Bible, goes something like this. Hebrews chapter 11 And we see here that the passage, starting in verse 33, says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. What do we think about? We think about Daniel, right? Squenched the violence of fire. We think about Daniel and his friends, right? Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weaknesses were made strong. Became valiant in battle. Turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. The picture that is pointed to us is all great. It's awesome. This type of faith is the kind of faith that we want. This is the kind of faith that wins and the kind of faith that overcomes, the kind of faith that makes sense. When we look at the stories of the Bible, story after story, and we look at what happened to all of these individuals, these great figures of the Bible, and we look at all the activities that took place, we see, wow, this is incredible. This is amazing. Quenching the violence of fire? I mean, that's awesome. Escape the edge of the sword? Wow. Became valiant in battle? So this is the picture, the image that we are presented, this kind of faith. But then if you continue to read just a few verses later, you see that the tone begins to shift in the story. And look what it says there, following from verses 36. Still, others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute. They were afflicted. They were tormented. And you're like, whoa. You begin to see this image and this that is taking place. And also, there's something that comes to light that we begin to see as this tone is shifting. There is great triumph, but there's also great tragedies. You look at this passage, and faith doesn't result in a sort of a bulletproof life. You see, many people want to have a faith that only good things happen to you. Many people want, or maybe many people believe, that if you have faith in God, and that if you believe in God, then that means that you're good. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. But when we look at the biblical story, and when we look at the narrative of Scripture, and we look at the Bible, we see story after story that that is not the case. I mean, how in your mind, I mean, just think about the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. The church enters into persecution. James, one of the disciples of Jesus, it says there in the Bible that he's slain by the sword. But then, a couple chapters forward, Acts chapter 12, you hear about Peter being in prison. The church prays. The next day, Peter is about to be executed. But then the church prays, and then Peter is set free. I mean, how do you make sense of faith? Same faith, different outcomes. Some great triumphs, others great tragedies. In this passage, you have stories of great triumphs and you have stories of great tragedy, which tells us that the Christian faith is not the guarantee of a life that is up and to the right. If this is the type of faith that you want to adopt, if this is the type of faith that you want to have, then you can go ahead and throw in the towel. Because this is not what Scripture and what the Bible says. This is not what the Bible brings. And the truth is, and the truth that we find at the end of this chapter of faith is a mixed bag. We find great triumphs and great tragedies. We find and we discover all of these characters of the Bible who made mistakes, who had ordinary lives, who had their struggles. Some good things happened, some bad things happened, but they all had faith. That's what the Bible says. And check this out. Now, starting in verse 32, we begin to see all of these other characters that are being presented to us. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. We begin to see, and if we don't have time this morning to go into each and every one of them, but if you just see at each and every one of these characters, these great figures in the Bible, you begin to see that all of their lives, if not every single one of them, had great triumphs and great tragedy. I mean, Samson, great judge. But then you see how his life ends. Right? And so you're seeing all of this, and this is where I want to take you this morning. Christian faith lives in the mystery of a faith that can work great miracles and wrestles with great tragedies. That is the tension of this chapter. Because how do you explain people who are faithful to God, people who are doing everything, quote unquote, right, and yet tragedies and sufferings happen? And this is where I want to pause here for a moment, because this is very important, I think, for us to discuss and to unpack this morning, which is this. Many people, or many of us, treat God like if he was a divine butler. Like that faith is this magical wand, this magical formula, where I have faith and I believe, and so God is going to give me everything that I ask for. Faith isn't a formula that guarantees comfort and success. Faith is confidence in God, whether the outcome is deliverance or death. Some treat faith like a vending machine. I insert belief, I press the right button, and then the blessings will drop down. But I want to bring to you and to bring this assurance to you this morning that God is much more than that. Yes, God is that, but God is much more than that. It's more than just, faith is more than just a transactional currency. It's relational. So what does this all mean for me and for you today? You that are sitting here at the pews here this morning, you that are watching on the video this morning, what does this mean for me today? Faith means believing that even when the miracle doesn't come, the Master is still present. Even when the mountain doesn't move, the Maker of heaven and earth has not moved away. That's the reason why David, in the Psalms 23, verse 4, can say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
for you are with me. To a watching world, that kind of faith seems foolish. Why would you trust a God who allows suffering? If there's no benefit for me of having faith, there's nothing in it for me. It actually sounds like you are just wasting your time. Because if faith is not going to do any difference in the sense of the trajectory of my life, because it doesn't guarantee a bulletproof life, then why on earth would I continue to have faith? Why be on the side of a God who allows great tragedies? Why choose self-denial? Why stay faithful when prayers seem to go unanswered? This sounds foolishness. This sounds like foolishness. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved in the power of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And he continues, and he says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." So what is Paul saying? He's saying, you were called, you had a special calling, you were not popular, you were not noble, you did not have all of these strengths, but God has called you, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. You see, when we put ourselves in God's hands, the things that may seem to the world that are foolish, that don't make sense, they're illogical, in God's hands they are wiser and they are better. To us, it may not make any sense. But if I'm placing myself in God's hands and I'm reliant on His faith for my life, even if it doesn't make sense to me, I know that God is watching over me. You see, faith gives us a framework, a way to interpret both the highs and the lows of life. Because, man, life will throw so many things at you. Good, bad things. And for many people, that may seem that life is linear, that is a myth. Life is dynamic. There's ebbs and ups and downs of life. And that's why, and that's the reason why it's so important to have faith in our lives. And faith works as a framework because it helps us to interpret both the highs and the lows of life. If faith isn't in Christ, your triumphs will go to your head and your failures will sink into your heart. You know, I'm sure that many of us here have been successful in many things in our lives. Maybe it was a spiritual thing. Maybe we were in a project. Maybe even, let's just say, maybe God wasn't involved in that project. But we were successful. And here's the danger. The danger is then when we are successful with something, our heads begin to get bigger. And we begin to think that because we're successful, we put in all the time, we put in all the money, we put in all the effort, this belongs to me. This is my baby. I worked into it. I earned it. I deserve this. This is mine. Bear with me. And here's the problem. The problem is when we have this type of mindset, then it's all about us and nothing about God. The other extreme is then when we are low and we're depressed or something happens, not if it happens, but when it happens, then we go into depression or we are angry or we are frustrated at ourselves to the point where we beat up on ourselves. We are hard on ourselves. Why did you do this? You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said this. Because we are not able or capable to measure to ourselves. And so faith helps us to navigate through the highs and through the lows of life. Faith takes both success and suffering and places them under the sovereignty of God. Faith says, when I succeed, to God be the glory. When I suffer, God is still with me. Faith doesn't erase the pain, but it gives pain purpose. This is the great invitation of the Christian faith. Let your faith, and this is what the whole chapter that we are reading is all about. Let the triumphs and the tragedies be on God. Be on God. You don't have to carry the burden. You don't have to do it all alone. Place it on God. Let God enter in your life. Let God direct your life. Let God and all the weight of this world and all the heaviness of this world, let God carry that for you in your life. Don't carry it alone. Let God in. And faith comes in together, and faith is the frame around like a painting, because without it, the picture has no boundary, and the colors bleed in and lose meaning. But the frame, every detail, even the dark areas, the dark shades, find its place in the whole. In the same way, faith frames our lives. It holds the bright and the dark moments together in the hands of our faithful God. Faith holds us when good times tempt us to forget about God, and faith also comes near us when bad times are tempting us to give up on God. But their lessons continues here in this chapter, because we are able to see in verse 39, the Bible says, and all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from this. I mean, I think about, when I look at this, I think about the heroes in the early part of this chapter. Abraham, Moses. I mean, think about the type of faith that they exhibited. They had not received the promise of Jesus, the Messiah, coming to die. I mean, imagine the faith that they had to have or to exercise of something that had not yet happened. I mean, this is incredible. But even the best people in the Bible didn't get the full promises of God. All the people who the Bible who calls blameless, righteous, good, even those who got their miracle still didn't get everything that was promised. And I want to pause here for a moment, because maybe there is someone here who has been praying for a miracle. Maybe there's someone here who has just been praying over something that has not happened yet. Maybe you prayed for a miracle and you still feel like there's a deficit. You can get the miracle and still feel like there's a deficit. I mean, I think about Abraham. Never saw the full nation be a reality. Moses never stepped into the promised land. David never saw the eternal kingdom established. And for us, as believers, the one way that we are going to experience the full experience God has for us, where the deficit will no longer be there, will be in the new heavens. A world without war and full peace. I mean, if we just take a moment to see the state of our world today. The wars. A world without pain and violence. A world without depression and despair. A world without separated families. A world without economic instability, disease, and death. That is what it's on the horizon for us. That longing, that deep ache, is what C.S. Lewis once called the scent of a flower we have not found. But the Bible calls it hope. What we are feeling is this sort of spiritual homesickness, longing for the day when death is defeated and we are with Christ face to face. And we are there together for eternity. And that's, my friend, that's what makes it worth it. That's what makes it worth it, to have that faith. We are feeling this sort of spiritual homesickness. And there's this beautiful image, this beautiful imagery we have here, where it says that God is waiting for all of us, both the heroes of faith and us today, to enter the kingdom together. Hebrews 11 ends with this image, with this heroes of faith. This is how the chapter ends. It ends with all of these heroes of faith who trusted God, even when the ending wasn't what they expected. Some conquered, some suffered, some were delivered, some died waiting, but everyone and us get to enter this together. And this is the point. Don't miss the point. This is the point of Hebrews 11. It's not to be something that you just read, but be your life. This is not something that we just read. All of these characters in the Bible, all of these great figures of faith, are there as lessons for us. It's like a mirror that we are looking at and say, this is how you ought to live in faith. This is how it is. And if you live in faith and you hang your life on Jesus, then the promise will be yours. You will be going to heaven. We are in a crossroads, church. We are in a crossroads where we have to make a decision. Where is our life hanging on the balance? Are we hanging our life and placing it on the hands of Jesus, regardless of the outcome? The same faith, great triumphs, great tragedies. Are we placing our hands on the Master, on Jesus? Is our faith with Christ? That's the whole point. That we just don't read the stories, but that we live them. These people that lived in the Bible, they were ordinary people. And that's what's so fascinating. But they relied on God. They were not looking for themselves or after themselves. But they said, God, I trust you regardless of the outcome. Regardless if it's good, if it's bad. Lord, my faith hangs in the balance. My life hangs with you. And so I'm wondering, maybe there's someone here this morning that is wrestling with this journey of faith. Maybe things haven't turned out the way how you
would wish that they would have turned out. Maybe there is a prayer request that you have been praying for maybe a year, or maybe 2 years, or maybe 5 years, and it still has not come into reality. Maybe there is something at the home, or maybe a family member, or maybe a loved one, or maybe someone who we care about, that they are suffering. And we are questioning our faith. We are questioning, is this worth it? Should I continue? Should I continue to pray? Lord, I've been praying for this for a long time, but I yet have to receive answers for what I've been praying for. And if I read the book of Hebrews, at the very end of the chapter, it says there that the heroes of faith and us both will get to enter into heaven. Maybe we will go to rest, but when we open our eyes, that'll be the next thing we see. And so, what I want to bring to your attention this morning and to impress into your minds is this. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel just because things have not come the way how you would want them to go. Trust in God. Put your faith in God. Rely in God. And if we hold on and you press forward and you have this faith, just like the people that we just read, us and them together, we will be with the Lord for eternity. And that is my prayer for you and me, my friends. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that we would rest in you. Lord, please help us to have this faith, regardless the circumstances, regardless the outcomes, that we can be faithful with Christ to the end. Lord, we just pray for a blessing over our congregation this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would bless each and every family. We pray that this blessing from God would be over our children, over our grandchildren. May they know Christ and Him only crucified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.